Good evening.
Hi. We had some great time in Coimbatore, and we bring good news from Coimbatore to everyone. And we were there for like three full days and half a day. And Vaishaguru did a baptism for two young believers, Loganathan and for Noah. And this happened in a resort. We just went that first day in the morning, and it was good to see the baptism, you know. And Amy has picked up guitar also, so she knew the keyboard, but she's like strumming the guitar better than Pastor Anil, actually. How many of you know that Tamil song, Sandosham Pongudu? Anybody? I'm sure, yeah. That was the song which Amy did for the baptism, you know. It was just an amazing scene just to see. And after that, we all dived into the pool, and we were like, it was a great time, yeah. And we came back to the church. And one thing which is very interesting to note is as you go to those places, and for me personally, after the drive, I was a little tired. And then when we were just going for this baptism, and when I saw like the body of believers together, you know, I really told Pastor Guru, life came into me. You know, this is like supernatural. You know, it does happen that when you see the body of believers coming together, and we were just getting ready to go, and suddenly there's like the tiredness is gone, and there's like fellowship, people are excited to see. And then it did happen. And then we came back to the church. We had great time of fellowship. And then we went for outreach at race course that evening. And Balaji was with me and some people. And he was just talking about, you know, we are trying to creatively share the gospel. So there was a couple, and we were like, okay, let us be creative. And we just gave the Tamil track to them, and we told them, we don't know Tamil, somebody gave this to me. And we asked the couple, read this track. And the couple was like reading the track, and it's like, are you really saying you don't know Tamil? I said, yeah, we don't know Tamil, you know. But so that person read the entire track. The girl also read the entire track. And then he was like, sir, you know what? You're actually disturbing us. She traveled from so far to meet me, and you are like... Then we said, hey, you know what? More than you loving her or she loves you, we want to tell you this. But in the way he caught us, actually, he said, you are lying. You actually know Tamil, but he kind of thought that I cannot speak Tamil, but he caught Balaji. He said, you are a Tamilian. I know you are a Tamilian. You know, but then it's like, yeah, creative, but the message went to the people, and they were really rejoicing and very happy to kind of know this message that we have, you know. And then the next day we had like Balaji and Satish, they do like Bible college classes. Whenever they are free, they come. And again, Pastor Guru gave a chance to teach them. And we did a small portion on the self-image which we have in the sun now. And so they were really excited. And just a thought of Balaji, if you get a chance, you check out his notes. He can take word-to-word notes. He's got an amazing appetite for the Word of God. And I can say Balaji and Satish are almost like, we can say, a Bible college student here in Bangalore who kind of finished 2 years in Bible school. That is where I will rate Balaji and Satish. You know, they are like, their spiritual IQ and acumen is like, it's just phenomenal. You know, they kind of understand what we are talking. They are like simple, but their Pastor Guru has invested in them, but at the same time, they have great hunger to keep receiving, right? So, and that next day evening, we went to Palakkad, and we drove to Palakkad, and the scene was just so beautiful, just the drive. And so Pastor Guru had an idea. He said, why don't you put these boys in your van and let's just go. And the boys were like so excited, and they have never come out of Coimbatore also. Their routine has been just their hostel, college, and they're not, they, if you ask them anything in Coimbatore, they will say, we don't know what you're talking about, you know. So, and again, very interesting, Balaji was trying to generate some fellowship in the van with them, but they were so lost in wonder, just seeing the mountains and the streams and the greenery around. And so the young boys, they just enjoyed themselves. And Saturday, Pastor Guru does like two courses for the Bible college students. So all the students, they come, and they are doing biblical psychology, which is like the class. And they also do Acts. These are two tape classes, right, which we have seen here in Bible college. So young believers, they all come and they are taking these classes, and then evening again, Pastor Guru leads them in an outreach. So so it's, when you see the church, you and in a place like that, these salvations are so, so genuine. And second thing is, you can also sense the message, the gospel message, and the message of grace really works in people. You know, you can see that difference very, very clearly. And because it's a place full of idolatry, there's lots of darkness around, but man, these guys have found light right in midst of it. And the entire family, you know, Pastor Guru, Nalini, Amy, and Anna, like such a troop they are, you know, just believing God, trusting God, walking by faith, investing, and just fellowship with just, I would say, bare minimum, you know, but just like trusting God. And we had a great Sunday morning service. God visited us Sunday morning. And these are people from, I would say, very orthodox Hindu background. There is nobody like who's got any previous taste of Christianity, you know, but these are like handpicked, really from hardcore Hindu background, but God has gloriously saved them, right? So in closing, I was reading Psalm 22 today, and so this is a Psalm of David, and he says in verse 10, I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Right? This is a psalm, and it's talking of birth of a child, and how right from the birth, and it's like God who's like our trust, correct? And just to see the church born, that's like a great, I would say, it's a great joy, you know, just to see that how the church is born in midst of all the adversity and all the needs and so many things happening. But in midst of all these things, the birth of the church has happened in that place. So it is the work of God, and continue to pray for Pastor Guru and his family, and there are great needs, but one thing he told me, I believe God has a plan for this place. Thank you.
should know me. Who are we to you, Lord? You have shown your love and mercy. We are strangers no more. We are daughters, we are sons, all because of what you've done. You have saved us. You have raised us up with you. You have saved us, called us out and made us new. Yeah. Turn our hearts from earthly idols. Turn our eyes to you, Lord. Only you can heal what's broken. Only you can restore. We are daughters, we are sons, all because of what you've done. You have saved us. You have raised us up with you. You have saved us, called us out and made us new.
Testimony, great singing, great guitaring. Yeah, that was like so. You know, some of us are called to sing from the congregation, you know. Others are called to be up on the stage, so it was good. Okay, we will just read 2 verses from Hebrews 10 and then get to Hebrews 11. Before that, we'll pray. Father, we thank you for stirring up our hearts. Thank you for the message we heard. Thank you for yours. We see how others have believed for us. And we couldn't even think in many ways on those lines, but we see the work of God continuing. Thank you for the investment we've received. Thank you for our pastor, his patient investment, love, perseverance, and just to see the fruit here and in different parts of our country. And we want to thank you for people you have given us in the faith. Thank you. You have made us part of a worldwide vision. You filled us with amazing sense of purpose as your people. And we pray, Lord, that this would continue on even through us to the next generation. Speak to us, quicken our spirits, fill us with amazing sense of hope tonight, God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Hebrews chapter 10. I'll just be brief this evening. We'll read two verses and then go to Hebrews chapter 11. Okay, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Isn't that amazing? Don't sling it away, because it has great recompense of reward. For you have need of endurance or patience, that after you have done the will of God, or we can say even in a sense of foredoing the will of God, so that you might receive the promise. Great verses, isn't it? And yet a little while, just a little while, you know, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. It's just a little while. It is not like forever. It's a little while, you know. If not, we go up. If not, he comes down. He comes in the clouds to take us up. So something is about to happen. Don't worry. Now chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now. Interesting why the writer uses the word now. He doesn't use any other word like then, afterward, later on, before. No. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. The elders obtained a good report. So. And there is a mention here, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. If you notice, the writer of Hebrews is not attempting to define faith in an isolated way. That's why you have the word now. You know, I've read books where many people say the best definition for faith is what is in Hebrews 11:1. It is okay to understand it to be that way, but not necessarily so, because it is always in connection with the previous verses. It is actually in connection with Hebrews chapter 10, 32 to 39, that this particular verse is mentioned in Hebrews 11, 1, where there is a mention of faith. Actually, what the writer of the Hebrews is doing is he is making a connection between faith and patient endurance. Patient endurance is mentioned in Hebrews 10. Just a few minutes of concentration and then we will leave and we'll have a good time. Today, are we cutting a cake for anybody? No? It's okay. So just a few minutes of, and then we'll get one principle in and then we'll close the service. The attempt made by the writer of this book is to connect faith here, the mention of the faith here, with patient endurance mentioned in the previous verses. So because of that, faith mentioned in Hebrews 11:1 is something that is looking forward to the future. while patient endurance is something that characterizes our present. Is it okay? So that's the way it is going. Okay. So the writer had pointed out in Hebrews 10:36, we read that the need for endurance or the need for patience. And this is a quote from Habakkuk 2, verses 3 to 4. So in so doing, he is already assumed that a life of faith, generally speaking, like we are called to walk by faith, 2 Corinthians 5:7, and not by sight. So a life of faith, generally, in a general way, if you speak, he has already assumed the fact that we have understood that it involves endurance. Based on that, in the back of the mind, he is attempting to communicate something in chapter 11 regarding faith. You know, it is amazing. Sometimes we are called to really believe God for our future. But we believe God for our future in such a way we like to skip the present and jump to the future. Right? But that is not the connection here. It is something to believe God for the future through the present. Therefore, the writer here is saying, the future with all of its hopes, in order to be realized, the future, it is yet to come, right? With all of its hopes and dreams for us to realize of what we believe God for, it involves endurance in the present. And that's the means to actually realizing it in the future. So in other words, the one who will live by faith today in relationship to his future with God will also patiently endure in relationship to his present condition with God. Beautiful, right? I came across this beautiful verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I was thinking, what? Yeah, we talk about having patience, the need to be faithful. It is required of a steward to remain faithful. Like, we are called to be stewards of the manifold grace of God given to us. And I was reading 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I always read that once in a while. This is about, and then in, it is about marriage and, you know, virgins and married men, married women, single men, virgins and different things, unmarried women, all those things, widows, whatever. But as Apostle Paul is mentioning those things, he slips in a beautiful point in chapter 7 and verse 25. He said, concerning virgins, I don't have a command from the Lord. Yet, I give my judgment, meaning he was under inspiration as he wrote that. That's why it's in the Bible. Yet I give my judgment as one who has obtained the mercy of the Lord to remain faithful. Is that amazing? So for us to be characterized by patient endurance in the present, because each man will proclaim his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? And what is the key to remaining faithful? Sinners who are saved by grace, and we end up discovering our depravity every day more and more, in addition to discovering who God is. What is the key to remaining faithful and not like thinking of options because of condemnation or things like that? What is the key to simply remaining faithful? Just receiving the mercy of God on a daily basis. So as one who has received the mercy of God to remain faithful, he communicates it. And I thought that was kind of amazing, something that relates to the present, right? So based on that patient endurance that must characterize our present in order to realize the hope for the future, he brings out this beautiful verse in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. So it is not a complete definition in itself, but it throws a lot of light on what faith is. Aren't we called to live by faith, right? Some people are named faith. Like, you know, some people are named mercy, grace, faith, love, hope, you know. maybe because they love this word, but it's a great word. Faith is a substance of things. Now, this word faith is appearing without a definite article. So it is not speaking about the content of Christian faith. It is speaking about the principle of faith. Okay? Now, the principle of faith is what? What is it? It is a substance of things hoped for. Two parts are there, and the evidence of things not seen. And there are, we can mention substance is the inward, evidence is the outward, which is okay. But I would like to touch it on a different light. The word substance is different from the word vacuum, right? There is substance. It is in Greek, it is the word hypostasis, and it means to stand under. To stand under. In Greek literature, this word substance was used for a title deed. For a title deed to something. What was it? It was a title deed. In our present day and age, we can say maybe it is like a sale deed or something. Say you own a plot of land. How many of you own a plot of land? Don't put your hand up. Or say you own a house in a plot of land or whatever. You will be given a sale deed or a title deed to it. That is basically what the word substance points to. Just to understand it in a word picture. Okay, see, the title deed in itself has no value, but it is a guarantee of ownership. Like, okay, you have the sale deed for your land, say for example, okay. The point of this message is not after this go and buy a land. No, don't interpret it all that way. This is just an example. Say you have a sale deed for a land. The sale deed in itself has not much value because a paper may cost 100 bucks, I don't know, 20 bucks, 30 bucks. But definitely what is written in it is a guarantee, and if your name is there as a buyer and whatever, it guarantees your ownership for what is written there. The word hypostasis actually means that. And I would put it this way. The reality of the possession or your living in that land is not established by the title deed, but the title deed nevertheless certifies ownership. Okay, you have, again, coming back to the same principle, say you have a house, and you have a title deed to the house, okay? Now, just because of the title deed to the house, it doesn't necessarily guarantee that you will be living in the house. But nevertheless, it certifies your ownership to the house. Imagine you, again, you have a house or you have a plot of land and you're holding that title deed or sale deed so dear to yourself and you're so thankful. And then a couple of years later, you come to find someone else has constructed a house and they are living there. What is the use of that sale deed in that sense? It's of no use, in fact, right? Does it have any use? No, yeah, you have it certifies your ownership to that land, but someone else is enjoying it. So you have the right to actually go and claim your ownership, but the claim to the ownership can never be through any way except through the title deed. So that's the connection. So just because we have a title deed to something, it doesn't certify, it doesn't mean that automatically embraces the reality of our actual possession of it, but rather it is a pointer to the fact that you own it. So if I give a lot of importance to the title deed and I ignore what is written in it and what my ownership is pointing to, wherever that piece of land could be, and I take this too much, that would mean in a way I deify faith rather than the one who gave me the gift of faith. How many understand what I'm trying to say? That is what this word hypostasis means. Similarly, in the same way, faith is not what establishes the reality or what is anticipated. It is God who establishes the reality for our lives, not faith. Faith is not that which establishes the reality of what is anticipated, but nevertheless, faith recognizes and trusts God for that which is hoped for. If faith is the cause for establishing a reality, see, God is the first cause and He initiates to us, though we could be living in unbelief. But if faith is made the cause to establish the reality of what is anticipated, then in other words, we end up, and believers commit this error of deifying faith rather than the one who has given them, or the one who has promised them something to which they were to trust God for. Isn't it? We have to be extremely careful, in that sense, saying, oh, you don't have it because you don't have faith. No, it is not that. It is definitely not that. For someone to say you don't have it because you don't have faith is actually to go off balance and make faith to be the cause for the reality of the possession. No, faith does not, the word hypostasis does not become a cause, does not cause the establishing of the reality of the possession. But rather it is certifying that you own it. Regardless of whether you want to experience it with God or not. That is faith. Faith is that substance that is given to us. That, in other words, the cause of the objective reality does not depend on one's faith. It depends on God. Isn't it? The saying that believing will make it so is actually an error, because we are not God. God is the one who makes things happen. God is the one who creates things. We are not magicians either. All that thing that is on the internet, like magicians bringing something out of some nothing and all that, is just fake. You know, they have all their stuff, tricks in their pocket, you know. In Matthew, which is that verse, Matthew 9:29, be it unto you according to your faith, has been misinterpreted by many people saying it is believing that will make it so. No. Jesus was not telling that believing will make it so. Jesus, in fact, telling you are receiving the benefit of what you have actually believed me for, which I had beforehand prepared for you. Right? So we can say this word hypostasis or substance is, another way to put it is assurance or confidence. What do we have? We have the assurance or confidence of things hoped for. So faith is then that which gives us assurance or confidence concerning the things that we actually hope for. So again, so we have this first word, hypostasis. And then it says, it is the substance of things hoped for. Hope, that's another great word. So faith is in some way intricately connected with hope. Hope is not a wish or a dream or a fantasy. It's not a wishful thinking. I have a friend, I will not tell you who he is. Once he told me that long time back, his parents actually bought a land that did not exist. It actually did happen. So they trusted the seller completely. They didn't even bother to go and find out where, if it even existed or if it was there. Blindly, they just, all the money transactions and everything happened. And come to find out, they have a title deed, but there is no land. There's nothing, and this title deed is not pointing to anything, because such a land doesn't exist. In other words, if we misunderstand hope, this is what it is. I'm believing in God, and I'm hope because of my belief in God, I'm hoping for something. But if that hope is just a fantasy or a dream or a wishful thinking, then it's as if I have like a title deed which I think God has given me, but in reality it is not a pointer to anything that is substantial in God. It doesn't even exist. I don't know, it is possible for us to exercise this kind of a faith, and a lot of it has to do with it in the realm of our emotions. Because, see, hope is not a wishful thinking. It is a settled assurance. It is actually a settled assurance that comes to a child of God when he by faith takes hold of the promises of God and claims it to himself. That is hope. So in other words, what we hope for must have a proper foundation. It cannot be something that doesn't exist. And therefore, the foundation of our hope, according to the scriptures, the foundation for our hope, according to the scriptures, is nothing but what God has actually promised us. And therefore, since God has promised us that, for me to live in hope in relationship to that promise, I must take hold of that promise by faith. In other words, I have the title deed that is pointing to the ownership of the promise or the experience of what I can have with God because He has already given it to me. That is where hope comes into the scene. Right? Imagine possessing a title deed and you're trying to figure out where that place is. Yeah, this is what the ownership to a house. Where is that house? Somewhere in Kothanur. And then you are tracking the address, Googling it, come to find out that address doesn't exist. That address exists somewhere in North India or somewhere. It's like, what? And this is Bangalore 77. You know, this is sometimes how we relate our faith to hope. We are hoping. I'm just hoping this would happen. That would happen. I'm just hoping this church, we will have 10 floors and No, all that is a form of fantasy. You know, there is no reality in fantasy. It doesn't, but that is not what hope is. In hope, it is something, it is a settled assurance, an assurance of what God has promised surely coming to pass, or assurance of something surely coming to pass. And the foundation for that kind of hope, knowing that something is going to surely come to pass, is because it is based on what God has promised. So faith and hope in that sense has to do with the title deed to what we possess, certifying our ownership to something which is of God, which is for us. Maybe if not now, maybe now it is a matter of patient endurance, but in the future for us to experience and realize the faithfulness of God for our lives. Is that amazing? And then, okay, so you have faith as a substance of things hoped for. But it is also the evidence of things not seen. Evidence. It's another beautiful word. So faith is the hypostasis of things that we have hoped for. And the foundation for that hope is definitely the promises of God, not what we have conceived of our own imagination. Then if I have conceived some things of my own imagination, then I must sustain my title deed, which is actually not from God. I got a duplicate from the panchayat somewhere because someone bribed. And I will have to sustain it with my emotional energy. And when it is going to wear out, I will actually begin to question, does God really care for me? Is God for me, when in the first place that title deed was never given to me by God? Why? It had nothing concrete to point to as far as it's what God could assign my ownership to. Secondly, it is the evidence. Evidence, we can say another, the meaning of this word is conviction or a settled feeling of certainty. Is that amazing? So this conviction or a settled feeling of certainty concerns things that are yet in the future. Why? Because it has to do with things not seen yet. According to Hebrews 11:1. Is that beautiful? The certainty and the convictions that we have right now as to what we are hoping in God for or believing God for concerns the things that are yet future. Why? Because it has to do with the evidence or the certainty of things not seen. Because if one sees things, then what is the need for faith? And what is the need for hope? There is a realization of it. So we don't need to have faith or hope because we have entered into the practical realization of it. So in other words, the writer of this verse is actually telling, if we have faith, or in other words, we'll to put it based on this definition of faith, if we have assurance or confidence of things hoped for, and if we have conviction, or if we are certain of things that are yet in the future, then look at this. then we will of necessity patiently endure in the present until we realize that which we confidently expect to come. That is the way faith is put, and what a way to connect that with the present and with the future, right? If we have faith, like we are called to have faith in God, right? Mark 11:22, right? Jesus said, have faith in God. So many verses on faith. And the writer here beautifully brings out in relationship to the calling, because Hebrews 10 talks about not quitting on a calling. Hebrews 10 talks about persevering in the light of what God has called us for. And what a way to look at faith in the context of that. If we have faith, or in other words, if we have hypostasis, or if we have assurance or confidence of things that we genuinely hope for in God, because it has a foundation, in it is the foundation of the promises of God. And if we are certain of things which maybe can, which is probably not seen now, but we are definitely certain of things which are yet in the future, then we will of necessity right now in the present tense will patiently endure until we realize that which we are right now confidently expecting in terms of the future with God. And this is how God has really shown us what a life of faith can be. You know, you take it to every single detail in your life, it's phenomenal. Think of yourselves, there's so many things we can believe God for, right? Personally, whatever our needs are, we have that as supplication toward God. And God will provide that which is good, but righteousness will go before us and establish us in the way of His steps. In Psalm 85. 12 and 13, which means there is a patient endurance in terms of coming into grips with what the righteousness of God is for our lives. But it is yet also that something that relates to the future, because of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. We have so many things to believe. We can believe God personally for our lives. We can actually believe God for one another. We can believe God for our church, isn't it? We can believe God for the body of Christ here. We can believe God for our children. Fantastic, isn't it? We can believe God for our missionaries who are on the field, that what God has said, He will perfect it. Yeah, we don't maybe see it yet now in its fullest scope, but we can believe God because of what is mentioned from Hebrews 10:32 all the way to Hebrews 11 verse 2. We can believe God for our school. We can believe God for the conference. We can believe God for our health. Come on, it's possible. Yeah, though there is patient endurance in the present, which involves coming into grips right now with what the righteousness of God is for our lives, it is still fine. It is still okay, because it is through this that we enter into a realistic future with God. Outside of, like, you know, we say bypass surgery. Take the shortcut and reach your destination. I don't know, it is open heart to the destination. What I mean is, it's that way, patient endurance in the present, because it has to do with what? Not just believing God for some needs which are totally rooted in self-preservation. No, it is in relationship with our calling and our relationship with God. Through it, entering into something that pertains to the future, which is phenomenal. And even though it has not yet come to pass, what do we have in our hand? You have the title deed. You know it, what it is, and its value is related to the fact of what is really substantial or what is really real with God. And as an ownership guarantee, God has given us a title deed. And what is a title deed? Faith. And you have it, we have it in our possession. And it is the evidence of things not yet seen. We can believe God for our church. We can believe God for our finances. We can believe God for a Bible school. We can believe God for a Sunday school. Like, you know, for anything, we can, in that sense, that pertains to our calling. We can believe God for reversals in the lives of people that we are really praying for. We can believe God for the salvation of souls in our city. Isn't it true? Yeah, we can believe God for that. Why not? Because what do we have? The title deed. And it does certify ownership in terms of its realization in the future. And therefore, God says, you have been given that ownership. It guarantees ownership. Whether we want to pursue it with patient endurance in the present to the proper experiential realization of it, that is up to us. But the point is, we have faith given as the guarantee to that ownership. We have it in our possession. We can believe God for anything. And you know something? That is what God will reward. Because the elders mentioned in Hebrews 11 didn't really enter into the experiential realization of what they really trusted God for. But because they understood the title deed given to them and the foundation based on the promises of God. So title deed and what it actually pointed to, they took both together and went ahead and lived their lives to the fullest unto the end. They obtained a good report, and that is what God will reward. That is what God is looking to our lives to actually reward us for. If I don't really, who cares? God is in charge. I know what the title deed God has given me, and I know what it is pointing to, and I know the sale deed, and I know where the land is, and I'm absolutely sure that this is in point, and it is not for me to decide when. It is for God to bring me there as He causes me to enter into patience in terms of running the race. Patient endurance. Who's through faith and patience, they have inherited the promises. And God will bring us there. And you know, that is something we have, something given to us. It's a sale deed or it's a title deed. And your name is written. Our names are written. And you go through the sale deed or the title deed, 8,000 plus promises are right there. Maybe one or two missing for a few people, but that's okay. But all the promises of God in 2 Corinthians 1, 20 and 21, in that way, you are the owner to it. You own it. You own it. Patiently endure by trusting me. It is not the fact that it is written that causes me to realize. Now that it is written, I know that I own it by. And I trust God for God to bring it to pass. That's the ownership we have. Amen? What a life to live. What a life to live. An unbeliever doesn't have this. That is why at best he can be fatalistic. Or at best he can be humanistic and everything hoping for the best. But no, we have God with us. He has given us something, it's in our possession, and we direct our lives or we make decisions to have our lives directed accordingly. Amen? We are people with a title deed. We have something going on for us. It's there. We are not aimlessly, no, we are not like an unregenerate man, as Pastor Daniel beautifully said. They don't know the thoughts of God. But we, through the Spirit, have come to grips with what has been freely given to us by God. Because we have received the Spirit that is of God. 1 Corinthians 2:11 and 12. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would bless these thoughts to our hearts and really encourage us in an attitude of faith. And even if it means patiently enduring and the need to receive mercy to remain faithful for what you have called us for. God, may we delight in that because you delight in your mercy. So that ultimately there's a beautiful end, and by it the elders obtained a good report. And that is what you wait to reward in time and also in eternity as we see you face to face. Thank you that today we can choose to please you and live by a faith that is not triggered by emotional energy, but we can choose to live you by a faith that is genuine because it has its foundation in what we genuinely hope for, which is nothing but the promises of God. We thank you, we praise you, and bless our evening and the remainder of our week, and give us a great time with outreaches, the Bible studies during the week, and our fellowship and everything, God, at workplace, your favor. And teach us, God, even to just believe you, believe you, believe you, and we believe you because of what you have said. Yes. Thank you. We praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.